At recess, the older students sat on an elm log out near the road, and some of the boys took their shirts off. The younger students wallowed around in the sea of mud that was the schoolyard. The first pollywogs were caught from the swamp behind the school and stuck in ball jars to be studied and dye. In the fields there was a vague cast of green emerging beneath the brown matted grass. Joseph and Rosalie opened all the windows for the first time since October, letting the fresh air wipe away the musty fetor of the coal stove, varnished wood, chalk dust, the urine from the faulty toilets. Joseph stood at the window and watched a group of boys playing marbles. It seemed sad that the best players won them all. One boy was much admired because his father owned a junkyard and supplied his son with small ball bearings that the boys called steelies. They were much desired, and though the boy from the junkyard was on the verge of being retarded and came from a bitterly poor family, he had his place in the sun each spring with his steelies. "How's your mother?" Rosalie came up behind and put an arm around Joseph's waist. When the children saw any sign of affection between them, they shrieked and jumped around like young goats. Catherine walked by the window and pretended not to notice them. "Bad. It can't last much longer." The pressure of her hand drew him to her. Since their night under the lights, they had become rather wild-eyed. With two lovers, Joseph's appetite increased. He had heard of the magic power of oysters, but none were available in the area except canned ones that tasted like tin. The night before, Joseph had roasted two grouse for himself and made some soup for his mother. After he had returned from a session with the new Rosalie, he had lazed in the bathtub, then fried himself a steak, which he ate while listening to the news and drinking his nightcap of bourbon with a little water.
"Do you want to go to the movies or something tonight?"
"I can't. I'd have to get someone to sit with Mother. Charlotte's coming tomorrow, so we can go out then."
"I'll come over for a while," she insisted.
"Don't bother. I got to get some sleep. I'm going to spread manure tomorrow."
He felt irritated with his runaround. "It's too warm and wet. You'll just get stuck."
"The news said it was going to freeze hard. I'll get up early."
"Damn. I wanted it to be nice for the weekend."
Rosalie walked out into the foyer and rang the bell that ended recess. She had an impossible case of spring fever and wondered aloud why anyone lived so far north. Joseph remained at the window as the children filed in, feeling weak and stupid with his lies. Now he would have to spread manure, whether he wanted to or not. He walked from Rosalie's room through the door of the partition into the upper grades. There were only 15 students left from a high of 30 some years back. The loss of students was easily explained by the number of empty, marginal farms in the township. "Sit down. Shut up. Put your books away. Take out paper and pencil. We're going to have a quiz. We've studied Emily Dickinson for a week. The question is," Joseph went to the blackboard, "was Emily Dickinson lonely because she wrote those poems, or did she write the poems because she was lonely? Use examples." There were groans. The question approached gibberish, but Joseph wanted to sit and think. He had lied to Rosalie because Catherine was coming over to go riding after school, and he no longer could face the two of them in a single day for both physical and emotional reasons. Some of the girls screamed. A garter snake was wriggling down an aisle toward his desk. The boys laughed. "Robert, take the snake outside."
"I can't, sir. I'm frightened of snakes."
Robert wore a red nylon jacket he had insisted Rosalie buy him. The jacket was exactly like the one James Dean wore in a recent movie.
"How many examples do we have to use, sir?"
"Three," Joseph said. A girl stood on her desk seat as the snake passed. "Daniel, take the snake outside before I tie it around your ugly neck."
"Yes, sir."
Daniel stumbled forward, though Joseph knew he hadn't brought the snake in. He lacked that much imagination. He was a pole. the son of war refugees, and had signed up.